is Vincent Price with a special Halloween feature.
Come closer. Look into my eyes.
In that creepy old house by the cemetery. Yeah, she sneaks around, never hardly talks to nobody. She's weird.
She's no weirder than any other old woman.
That's the trouble.
Ministry.
Good evening. I've been asked to tell you that the following show is very scary, with stuff that might give your kids nightmares. You see, there are some crybabies out there, religious types mostly, who might be offended. If you are one of them, I advise you to turn off your set now. Come on, I dare you. Chicken! Hey.
tall man, Angus Scrimm, and you are listening to Rue Morgue Radio. Happy Halloween, boy!
Do you believe in the boogeyman?
Rue Morgue Radio, the world's original all horror broadcast.
A spine-chilling excursion into a world of unrestrained terror.
Happy Halloween, yeah! Welcome to Rue Morgue Radio, the world's original all-Halloween broadcast. This week, I'm your host, as always, Tomb Dragomir.
And the dark, dank tomb, my dwelling place. I feast on human blood.
Yes, and I live inside myself. Yeah, this week on our very special Halloween broadcast.
Dr. Clint buys the corpses from the two gravediggers, constantly wants fresh corpses, and doesn't care where they come from.
Yes, the tall man himself, Angus Scrimm from Phantasm, joins us. Our blood spatter guide talks to composer Alan Howarth.
Scaring somebody is you set them up, you creep around, you do very thin high strings and little textures, and then when the bad guy shows up, you scare him.
And the caustic critics are taking on I Sell the Dead.
Grave Rob?
Yep. Bloody good one, too.
Mainly, though, we're under the thumb of one Dr. Vernon Quint. He was a fiend.
I need more corpses, and I need them now. I don't care where they come from.
Enough messing around. Terror tunes on Route for Mad Sin, The Cauldron, Susie and the Banshees. Here's the Creep Show on our very special Halloween Rue Morgue Radio.
Boy.
Halloween, let's go.
Bonfires burning bright, pumpkin faces in the night. I remember Halloween, dead cats hanging from poles. Little dead are out in droves. I remember Halloween. Brown leaf vertigo, where skeletal life is known. I remember Halloween, this day anything goes. Burning bodies hanging from poles. I remember Halloween.
Trick or treat, smell my feet, here's Susie and the Banshees.
Hello,
Kruger here, and I want to wish you a happy Halloween. It's my favorite night of the year.
So first of all, what is the state of the Church of Satan?
I was going to ask you about Wes Craven, and now I'm ashamed to.
Less Messman style.
Possibly the Antichrist.
Like a zombie character on Sesame Street. All of a sudden, it seems so irrelevant. Continue.
I speak nothing but the fucking English language. And if that's infamous, then
tough titters.
All right, this is Feedback, and it's our Halloween show, so you know we have to do something very special. So I have in the studio today, sitting right across the table from me, genuine American horror movie royalty, Mr. Angus Scrimm, of course best known for his iconic portrayal of the tall man in Don Coscarelli's celebrated cycle of Phantasm films.
Boy.
Angus was in town this weekend for the closing gala of the Toronto After Dark Film Festival, a screening of I Sell the Dead, a horror comedy produced by Glass Eye Pix, starring Ron Perlman, Dominic Monaghan, Larry Fessenden, and yes, Mr. Angus Scrimm himself. Welcome to Rumorg Radio, Angus.
Oh, I'm thrilled to be here. How wonderful to be able to wish a happy Halloween to the entire world, to the good offices of Rumorg.
Needless to say, we are absolutely thrilled to have you. You've been very active in this late period of your career, particularly in recent times with Larry Fessenden's Glass Eye Pix company. Besides I Sell the Dead, you were in James McKenney's Automatons, and you'll soon be seen in his follow-up feature, I believe, Satan Hates You.
Yes.
So, tell me, what's it been like working with Larry Fessenden and his community of New York-based filmmakers?
Well, it's been a joy, obviously, to have these brilliant young filmmakers with their terrific company tossing the occasional role to this decrepit old antique. Larry is wonderful to work with. James McKenney, I think it was, who actually brought me in for his first feature, or his second feature, my first with Glass Eye, The Off-Season, a little ghost story. And then immediately cast me also in Automatons, and then Satan Hates You. And Glenn McQuaid picked me up then for I Sell the Dead, which had an uproarious premiere last night here in Toronto.
You two are getting a reputation. You need to lie low for a while.
Well, we had to do it. That ornament Dr. Quint had us between a rock and a hard place. And now we can't get near the cemeteries no more.
He's threatening the law if we don't keep up with it. Who's got you by the bullocks then?
Bastard.
I'll drink to the end of him.
So what can you tell me about your character, Dr. Vernon Quint from I Sell the Dead?
Dr. Vernon Quint. Dr. Quint buys the corpses from the two gravediggers, Larry Fessenden and Dominic Monaghan. The younger Monaghan, played by Daniel Manchi. And constantly wants fresh corpses and doesn't care where they come from.
I hear he plays each corpse a tune on his fiddle before he gets stuck in.
Enough of Quint. Several old ties, that's what I say.
Was it as much fun to play as it looked?
Oh, it was hilarious. It was great fun. Well, you know you're working with an Irishman. You know you're going to run into a sense of humor. And this diabolical, dark story of grave robbing is just shot through with humor every other frame. The audience was roaring last night at some of the comedy. Even in his ironic way, Quint is funny.
One of the great things about I Sell the Dead, it's an ensemble piece. There's great performances in it. All the actors seem to be having a great amount of fun, and it's clearly one of Larry Fessenden's best roles to date.
Yes, and I'm hoping that this picture will attract the kind of attention that will zoom Larry to the character actor status that he has long deserved. Yes, he's brilliant. He's raffishly funny in it.
Are you frightened? Of course you is. I remember the first job I pulled. Nearly shit myself, didn't I? With me old man, it was. Miserable bastard.
I was amazed by Dominic Monaghan, whom I met briefly on the set. This young man has wonderful maturity as an actor, and his reactions and his responses and his dead-on-the-mark deliveries. Of course, what can you say about Ron Perlman, that magnificent head of his?
Unbelievable. And, were you on set? Did you?
I never met Ron, no. And I was hoping to meet him last night, but he couldn't make it. No. His grace and his subtle facial expressions, much of his performance is done in full close-up. But to keep the visuals interesting, he uses his graceful hands, strong hands, constantly moving in such a way that your eyes are transfixed by him.
Exactly what I was saying when I interviewed the director, Glenn. You're just mesmerized by him because he's got that wonderful cinematic head, but he uses it so well. And, you know, he's just a very talented actor.
I think that's called charisma. And Brenda Cooney, who's Irish also, I didn't realize, she's been in New York for some time now doing films, is right on the mark, so splendid, as is Eileen Colgan, is that her name? The Irish actress who plays the old lady in a couple of short scenes, and you can't take your eyes off her. The cast, and John Papadakamuka Wickelis, or whatever his name is.
Small man. Your end approaches, but it is not yet. Take great care how you play. The final game now begins.
Are you sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin.
No more radio.
Sequel. Don't you blame the movies? Movies don't create psychos. Movies make psychos more creative.
I'm a Billy Woods, all right? I can't take anymore. I'm feeling woozy here.
The spirits of the night are coming back. Creeping round the corner like alley cats. There's a whispering sound going through the trees as witches fly across the moon on an autumn breeze. What's that creaking down the stairs? Ghosts and goblins are everywhere.
The strangest night I've ever seen. The moon.
from door to door. Shout out to these creatures of yore. It's the weirdest night I've ever seen. October 31st, it's Halloween. The Phantom of the Opera is hanging loose. Now he's making a play for Mother Goose. Dinosaurs and mammoths are running wild as Cleopatra and Aphrodite go wiggling by. Napoleon, Caesar, and Attila the Hun, they're rising from the graves one by one. It's the strangest night I've ever seen. October 31st.
As always, tons more fun to come. It's the Blood Spattered Guide with composer Alan Howarth. Details on a big crazy giveaway. And the Caustic Critics, yeah, stick around right now. In the Halloween spirit, it's time for What's Happening with Shannon. Wearing my invisible suit today. Shannon, what's going on?
Hey, Tomb. Happy Halloween. Nice costume, although you're a little skin and bones, I have to say. Hey, everyone. I'm Shannon, letting you know what's happening horror-wise around the world. Of course, tonight is Rue Morgue's 11th annual Halloween party at the church at Berkeley, 315 Queen Street East, Toronto. Hopefully, you've got your costume ready. Should be a good time. The 2008 Student Horror Film Festival contest in Emmaus, Pennsylvania is happening November 1st at 4 p.m. Tickets are $2. It's a chance to see what some talented film students were able to come up with in 96 hours. Hey, can you do better? And if you've got the money to fly to Prague, the Moonlight Mayhem Fest is on November 2nd and 3rd. It is Eastern Europe's first psychobilly and horror punk fest. It will feature 14 bands from 8 countries, including the Astro Zombies, the Death Valley Surfers, and Spellbound. Go to ticketpro.cz for more details. Or you can head to the theaters for the new film, The Haunting of Molly Hartley. That opens October 31st. A young girl looks to put her past behind her, but can her secret stay buried, especially when she learns more about the horrific truth that awaits her when she turns 18? Go to thehauntingofmollyhartley.com for more details. And if you have something you want to let me know about, send me an email, shannon@rumorgradio.com. Happy Halloween.
Happy, happy Halloween, Halloween, Halloween. Happy, happy Halloween, Silver Shamrock. Happy, happy Halloween, Halloween, Halloween. Happy, happy Halloween, Silver Shamrock.
It's almost time, kids. The clock is ticking. Be in front of your TV sets for the Horrorthon. And remember the big giveaway at 9. Don't miss it. And don't forget to wear your masks. The clock is ticking. It's almost time.
Happy, happy Halloween, Halloween, Halloween. Happy, happy Halloween, Silver Shamrock. Happy, happy Halloween, Halloween, Halloween. Happy, happy Halloween, Silver Shamrock.
Gordon Lewis, the godfather of gore, and you are listening to Rue Morgue Radio.
The night is my domain.
Hello, I'm Lisa Ladouceur, your blood-spattered guide to music on Rue Morgue Radio.
Where have you been? Don't ever go off on your own at night again, okay? Not ever.
We have a Halloween treat this episode. I talked to someone intimately acquainted with Halloween. Halloween 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. Specifically, it's composer and sound designer Alan Howarth, a man perhaps best known for his many collaborations with John Carpenter, and ultimately taking over scoring duties for the Halloween franchise for quite a while. He spoke to me from his home studio in Los Angeles about the Halloween holiday, working with John Carpenter, and of course, Michael Myers.
Michael Myers. He's come home to kill.
Thanks, Alan, for being on Rue Morgue Radio.
I'm glad to be here.
It's Halloween weekend, and a lot of our listeners have spent the month of October diving into the Halloween back catalog. Some of them have been watching all the Halloween movies in succession. I wanted to ask you if you've ever done that.
Not by watching the movies. Often I will put on the Halloween music CDs sort of in the background, and it sets the tone. It's like when we had little kids, I used to put a lot of Halloween decorations in the front yard with lighting and fog and witches and all that stuff. And I would just play the Halloween music, so it was like an attractor. And we used to get like 500 kids to our house every Halloween.
What's your favorite one to bust out?
One that really communicates my Halloween the best is the 4, 5, 6 series, which I was actually on my own. So, well, Halloween 2, I worked with John Carpenter's original recordings from Halloween 1. And it was in parallel to John Carpenter, actually. He was on The Thing. So kind of an interesting story when this whole thing came up. John knew he would be busy on The Thing, and he just turned to me and says, Alan, you're going to do all the Halloween stuff. Like, just handed me the franchise. It's like, oh, okay, cool. When we got to Halloween 3, he had free time that he just kind of walked in and was looking forward to the scoring, irregardless of the content. When he put on his composer hat, he always used to tell me that when he got to do music, it was like taking a vacation for him.
You mentioned Halloween's 4, 5, and 6, and I think many people really enjoyed the music for Halloween 4 in particular. You had an opportunity to make a new main theme. Being such close friends and colleagues with John Carpenter, how did you approach it?
I approached John. I said, hey, John, they want to do some more stuff. Do you mind if it? He says, no, go for it. So I was given the blessing by John Carpenter to just do whatever I wanted. I then put my stamp on John's themes, because obviously the themes that he wrote, the bum 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 bum, is his theme. He created that on Halloween 1, but it's so married to the character that when you see the mask, you got to hear that music. And so now I got to do my own arrangements and variations and fool-arounds and add a lot of sonic texture that was sort of from my own musical tastes. I mean, I was very much into all the prog rock stuff, being a child of the 60s and 70s, and I was very much into Pink Floyd and King Crimson and Genesis and stuff like that. So I brought all those influences into the Halloween 4 score and had a great time. I mean, when you do something and you really enjoy it and you're a good artist, you can have that joy even though you're scaring people. And so it's lasted. Here we are, golly, 20-some years later, and it still holds up. There's ringtones now that have the Halloween 4 version. People have a good time, much like they would put jingle bells on their cell phone. Now they put the Halloween theme on their cell phone for Halloween, and it's fun.
Well, we say you can do that all year round. You don't have to wait for Halloween.
I know.
Hello?
You talked about the joy in scaring people with music, and the Halloween stories are stalker stories. So what does a composer and a sound designer need in your toolkit to really work a stalker story?
Well, there's a great quote by one of the original sound design characters, a fellow named Ben Burtt, who did all the original sound design on Star Wars. Somebody asked him one time, how do you make those great explosions, Ben? And what he said is, you make sure it's really quiet just before it happens. Well, that's the same thing you do in scaring somebody, is you set them up, you creep around, you do very thin high strings and little textures, and then when the bad guy shows up, you scare them. And the John Carpenter themes, the Stalker theme, the Laurie theme, the Halloween theme, got recycled over and over again because those were iconic.
Before I let you go, I do feel the need to ask someone who spent so many hours looking at Michael Myers. And why won't that guy die?
Because he's pure evil. You know, the boogeyman, the whole thing. You know, always you can kill the bad guy, but this guy you can't kill. So there must be some force greater than humanity, which regenerates, manifests, keeps them going. And sort of that's the myth.
Well, thank you, Alan, for your contributions to something that is a great tradition for a lot of us every year at this time.
Hey, well, yeah, I expect that Michael Myers and Halloween will go on forever.
Alan Howarth will be appearing this Halloween weekend at 30 Years of Terror, the Halloween movie convention in Pasadena. If you can't make it, you can buy autographed copies of many of his scores at his website, alanhowarth.com. And in a few weeks' time, I'll bring you part two of our interview where we talk about Poltergeist, Dracula, and Transcendence. Right now, this is Alan Howarth from Halloween 4 on Rue Morgue Radio.
Jamie, I want you to stay right here in the truck.
Calm down, calm down. Are you all right? Are you all right? Where's James?
Michael Myers is in hell, buried where he belongs.
makers of 30 Days of Night and The Grudge movies, comes Ghost House Underground. 8 cutting-edge horror films, handpicked by the most trusted names in horror. Ghost House Underground. Grab all 8 films on DVD October 14th.
For the past 2 years, After Dark Films has terrified audiences
with Horror Fest, 8 films to die for.
And each year, one queen of scream has clawed her way to the top.
Submissions accepted through October 17th. Log on to youtube.com/horrorfest and submit your original 90-second video for your chance to reign as After Dark Films' next queen of scream.
Follow the entire competition at youtube.com/horrorfest and vote for Miss Horror Fest 3.
And don't forget to look for Horror Fest 3
in theaters January 9th.
Visit horrorfestonline.com for more details.
How many do you figure are already in?
Don't know. Not too many.
We'll get them easy. We'll get it all locked off, then we're going on a hunt.
All right, this is feedback again. Hands down, what is one of the greatest horror movie DVD releases of all time is undoubtedly the Dawn of the Dead Ultimate Edition by Anchor Bay. Anchor Bay were nice enough to send us a copy to give away for our Halloween show. I want to thank Leah Vissar from Amberlight Entertainment for being such a kick-ass publicist. So we have one copy to give away. We're going to do a skill testing question. It's fairly easy for Romero fans. What is the name of the actor from both Land of the Dead and Diary of the Dead who is returning for the new Romero zombie movie currently filming right now, known as Blank of the Dead? If you know the answer, send it to contests@roo-morg.com. From all the correct answers, we will randomly select the winner and will mail out to you a copy of the Anchor Bay Ultimate Edition Dawn of the Dead box set, which includes every version of the film known to man. It's just our little way of saying happy Halloween.
Martin Prince, report to my office at once.
And bring that big, juicy chess club brain of yours along with you.
Hey, kids, look what you can win in the Krusty Sweepstakes. To enter, send me your parents' brains. All right, parents' brains on a 3x5 card and send it to...
Homer, did you barricade the door?
Why? Oh, the zombies. No.
Spare my family. Take me. Take me.
Trick or treat on Blue Art Radio.
Let's go.
Yeah, I'm running around in my social crypt. Got my costume on for an evening.
I have an appointment with Oswald Mitchell. Change my mind. Baggers! You bastards! I don't think it's quite my size.
It's a little tight around the neck.
I'll be bleeding head off.
I'll see you in hell, you bollocks.
Fuck you, Grimes.
And as for you.
Classic critic.
Controversial. Unrelenting. It's brutal. It's nasty.
Sensational.
The worst of the worst.
Offend everyone equally.
Bowling, broading.
They're real.
This stuff shit scrapes off the bottom of its shoes.
They're mean.
So what was the actor's name?
Oh, God, what a plank he is.
They're here.
Are you ready? It's time for the Classic Critics. They're here.
All right, this is feedback.
And this is Michael Felsher.
Iron Mike Felsher.
Yeah.
On this show.
It is Iron Mike.
I didn't want to come back, to be honest with you, but you dragged me back in here because you did subject me to a very good film.
I had to make up for Splatter Disco.
Well, you're going to be doing that for a long time. Flabbergasted by the choice of movie this week. I don't think I could even stay here anymore. I gotta go. I
didn't Splatter Disco! For the love of Christ!
Thanks for visiting!
Oh, fuck you! Fuck you, feedback! Fuck you!
But well, come on, this was pretty good.
This was
pretty
good.
What I did was I invited Mike to the closer night gala of the Toronto After Dark Film Festival for the last feature film, I Sell the Dead, directed by a fellow named Glenn McQuaid, the latest film produced by Larry Fessenden's company Glass Eye Picks, stars Ron Perlman, Dominic Monaghan, Larry Fessenden in maybe his greatest role to date.
He was an extremely, and a cameo appearance from Angus Scrimm, no less.
Boy.
Before the movie, there was a phenomenal short film
God.
By a couple of crazy motherfuckers from the East Coast, the guys that did Hobo
with a Shotgun.
We're taking a carload to hell, you're running shotgun.
Hobo with a Shotgun.
Their latest film, Treevenge, is one of the high points of the whole festival.
It was, it absolutely was. And we're not going to get into any description of what goes on in Treevenge because I don't want to spoil it for anyone. Basically, Christmas trees versus human beings. That's all I'm going to say. It was off the hook hilarious. I thought brilliantly done. The setups, the camera movements, the way everything was put together.
The understanding of the genre.
Yeah, it really was.
It's a fucking masterpiece.
Yeah, it's one of the best short films I've seen in a long time, and the audience went absolutely apeshit for it.
I love this trade, Mr. Blake.
Revenge is like an adrenaline shot.
Yeah.
And it's a short film, it's concentrated, it's boom, it just throws it all right at you. But then there's a lead up with I Sell the Dead. It's an anthology film in a way, in that it's framed as a series of flashbacks with, you know, this man who's being put on trial for grave robbing and we think murder. But we don't really know that. Ron Perlman plays this, you know, priest who comes in to get his last words and his confession and everything. And over the course of the movie, we begin to understand what really happened and what his relationship like was with his partner, who we see getting killed in the very early part of the movie, played by Larry Fessenden in a wonderfully unhinged but very controlled performance at the same time. And the chemistry between Dominic Monaghan, who you remember from the Lord of the Rings films, and Fessenden is truly wonderful. You really care about these people.
So tell me, how did you start out in your life a crime?
Well, I suppose I'd have to go back a bit. Back to when I first met Willie. Willie got me into the trade.
Grave robber?
Yep. Bloody good one, too.
And in the scenes when he's being interrogated by Ron Perlman.
Oh, yeah.
Ron Perlman is just
eating it alive
glory.
For all it's worth, yeah. And it's wonderful.
For a lifetime spent in despicable pursuit of grave robbing and murder. Well, all this really means is that you're a dead man, and I'm here to make you say
Sorry.
The period detail was spot on. It felt like Dickensian London, just very vintage, perfect. The art direction, I mean, everything. And the score was just wonderful. Jeff Grace did the score. It had a weird kind of Danny Elfman vibe at first, but then it just kept on.
Classic.
It was just wonderful. I mean, but in the end, for me, what really got it was the characters. Moynihan and Fessenden play off each other so wonderfully in this that you want to see more of them. You want to see them go on to other adventures and stuff, and I think that they did a marvelous job in this picture.
An interesting element of this film is that it's Glenn McQuaid's first feature film. He made a short a couple of years ago called The Resurrection Apprentice.
Right, which dealt with these guys, yeah.
Yeah, and that was the impetus for the feature. The short was included
in the film
as a flashback. It's really remarkable that they got to do that.
It's very skillful and very clever. And it doesn't wink at the audience very much. It plays it serious enough that it doesn't seem like it's being condescending.
If you're a fan of those Amicus horror anthologies, that's completely the spirit.
It's
where
right
this
up to Tales from the Crypt Vault of Horror, yeah.
And Hammer Horror, and even the Poe films. It's got that sort of loving familiarity
with
those films.
Perfect casting. I mean, if you didn't know Larry Fessenden, you would think he's just this drunk Irish guy.
I nearly shit myself, didn't I?
Every element of the film works. It is one of those rare horror comedies I think everyone should make a point to see, because we've had to suffer through so many shitty ones. Case in point, let's say Splatter Disco, for example. But I Sell the Dead is something you should definitely buy your ticket for.
All right, well, until next week, this is Feedback. And what are you saying over there, Iron Mike? Will you come back?
Well, you know what? After this, I would have to think I will. In fact, I'm so happy right now that I've seen a good movie here. In fact, I want to tell the world that I've seen a good movie here. Hey, everybody, I saw a good movie.
Wow. Happy Halloween, everybody.
Fuck Halloween. cautious night I'll soar. I'll wade through pools of rancid gore. I'll slide through clumps where maggots squirm. I'll skin dive where piranhas churn. I'll tread the reeking, oozing swamp. Through corpse-filled quicksand beds I'll stomp. Through vampire nests I'll wing my way. Where werewolves dwell I'll pass today. I'll lift your coffin lid, my dear. My nose will tell me you're still there. I'll realize my lifelong dream to wish you all
Happy Halloween!
Constantly wants fresh corpses and doesn't care where they come from.
Damn right.
Nearly shit myself, didn't I?
Boy.